The following show is intended for a mature audience.
But it's really funny.
So, if you're underage,
go to bed.
Easily offended,
get over yourself.
I just got a gigantic stick up
here. Hey, watch it.
Okay. You all might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Jethro Silverwing Show on online gaming radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. It's time to waste 2 hours, Jethro Show tonight.
Hey there, dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us do.
I'm just glad I got my ale.
Get it started!
Back off! I got a tonga, mother free to use it!
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational, entertaining,
merchantable, perk and whimsical. This is what we call Jethro Silverwing Show.
Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson, I know it!
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, I think we got it going here. I had to reinstall the broadcasting software. I really hope that I had everything set up here. Let me turn this fan off to reduce noise. Hello, everyone. This is the Jethro Silverwing Show for August 4th, 2009. I am your host, Jethro Silverwing. With me, as always, my love, my wife, my girl, the burning of my loins, the baker of cookies, the tailor of fine armors, the girl downstairs, and the reason we have a mature audience morning at the top of the show. We're talking with Jenna!
Healing greetings. Are you going to bust something if you keep going like that?
Oh, man. I'm surprised I could say that fast.
Well, you were a square dancer caller at one time.
I was, actually.
And they have to talk pretty fast.
All right. As a friendly reminder, if you want to join in on the mayhem, you can hop onto our in-game chat channel, eq2.guk.ogr, which is up and running 24/7. This is where the OGR elite come to meet. If you'd like to download any of our skits, interviews, or Jethro's parodies, you can get them at kithacore.org. And as of today, I have all my podcasts up and running up until last week's. So
it's about time, you lazy git.
Oh, I know. I haven't edited any podcasts since before the fanfare. So I did that this morning before I went to work.
Which is probably why people are asking if I'm okay, because they're finally listening to the fact that I got sicker than a dog.
Oh, yeah.
After coming back from fanfare.
Okay, well, I just want to announce before I introduce our guest for this week, we are having the Legion of Kithacore hot tub party. We're having a spa party here at the Legion of Kithacore Guild Hall, Antonia Bale server, South Kinos, and the Tier 2 Guild Hall. Just visit Legion of Kithacore. We got all kinds of people here. How many people we got? We have 13 people here right now, and more to come. I understand the folks from the Maiden's Fancy are coming down. They've accepted my extended invitation to them, and they're not going to have a stage production tonight. Instead, they're coming here. They're going to have some fun at the Legion of Kithacore Spa. If any of you are wondering how to get into the steam room, it's this false wall right here. I'm right here, and just false wall right into the steam room. There we go. And now you can see me at the window.
And it's another reason to have a naked orgy. I can just know it.
Woo!
I do want to take a moment, and I doubt that, you know, he'd be listening, but I'd like everybody to go with me on the count of three, say, "Aw, poor Brenlow," okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. Aw, poor Brenlow.
And why are we saying "aw, poor Brenlow"?
He's homesick.
Oh, that's right. I read that on his Facebook page. He's homesick and watching Kung Fu Panda, which, you know, really can't be all that bad.
He's probably done watching Kung Fu Panda and has moved on to something else. I don't know.
Aww.
But Brenlow, feel better soon. There was somebody else out sick, too, from down there.
Who was that?
Hang on a second. For some reason, Facebook is like acting like a slug tonight.
It always acts like a slug for me for some reason.
I want to say Greg Spencer's wife.
Ah.
But I'm not certain.
Greg Spence, of course, is Hrothgar.
Yes. But I'll find out here in a second. So there's two people at home recouping or recovering or convalescing. And, you know, I just want to know who's the bug carrier down there this time. Did I tell you podcast, was it 68?
Number 69!
No, it's not 69.
I saw Amy post something about podcast 69.
No, 68.
Is it?
Yes. 69 is coming, and which is my favorite number. But no, they're on podcast 68.
Oh.
That went out Monday. Late
okay.
Monday. So,
okay. So, we hope everyone at Sony is getting better, and for goodness sake, if you're sick, stay at home so that you don't infect the rest of them.
They've done that before in the past, haven't they?
I think so. So the hot tub party is in full swing. I'm sorry if I'm going to be a little antisocial during the party, but I do have a show.
He'll strip down and rub himself over everybody later.
I'm already stripped down. And of course, I'd like to once more plug my need for Sony to get rid of the grunderwear. Maybe some kind of shorts for the guys. You know, the girls have dresses. How come the guys can't have shorts? I mean, I know Jethel's tattoos cover his legs, too, but I've never seen them.
You know, Drell and I were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, us older characters have colored underwear while everybody else has grays.
Colored?
Yeah.
Let me check that. I actually haven't...
Mine's colored. Mine's purple.
Believe it or not, I've actually never... I haven't taken my my pants off in a long time. So let me...
Really?
Well, there's always something... You know, they did not make a leggings of imperceptible beauty. So I always have, you know, leggings on. Let me check this out. Color... Mine are brown. They're not white. They're brown.
Right. We don't want to know why they're brown.
They're just dirty.
Uh-huh.
Just like me. I'm a dirty, dirty boy. Anyway... Starting this week, we have a new segment going on. We have Know Your Role. I actually wanted to get home early today and record The Rock going, Know Your Role and shut your damn mouth. But I had to reinstall the broadcasting software. So the new segment is Know Your Role. What are we doing on Know Your Role? We're going to, every week, or at least I'm going to try every week for the next 18 weeks, we're going to try to get to know a race. So I am inviting people who know a lot about their race to come on the show. I've got a thread going in the history and lore area of the EQ2 forums for people to volunteer to come on the show. Let me bring this up here. I believe I already have EQ2 forums. I have Fae, Halfling, Sarnak, I believe. Dark Elf. Need a drink? I have ale up here. It's alright. Let's see. History and Lore. There it is. And it says... Where is it? Looking for experts. Know Your Role. Started by Jethel. And yes, I've already got Dark Elves, Fae, Halfling, Ratonga, Sarnak. And today we're doing Ixar. Joining us today... From the archive of Ick is Draco. Hello, Draco.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. How about you?
Good to be here.
Enjoying the mayhem already?
It's very, very hard not to laugh. Sitting here trying to be quiet while you're cracking jokes, and it's rather difficult.
Oh, that's all right. So you are the resident Ixar expert. Tell us about the Archive of Ick.
No pressure, huh? Well, the Archive of Ick was started out as a community website for Ixar.
Mm-hmm.
When I got it off and running, I actually have Grimwell to thank for interviewing me on the day that it launched, he pulled me aside and it got a spot on EQ2 Players. And it kind of took off from there. It was meant to be a place where Ixar could kind of gather and learn a bit about their race and talk to other Ixar players. But as it kind of grew and didn't so much grow, it was because Ixar, of course, are a niche race, at least to some extent. It became more of a lore depository or a place where people can come and read about Ixar lore. And then if they have questions, they can post, of course, on the archive of Ix boards and ask them. But as of right now, it's kind of more become a place where you can just go and read about your race, read about the Ixar, read about their history. I have a bunch of books, official books from EQ1, EQ2, and then some player-written material that has kind of gotten a good it's good graces by the original lore. So it's a lot of good stuff to read if you play in Ixar. I very strongly recommend, of course, self-promotion here, that you go and check it out.
Oh, I have. I went over there today and checked out a few things. I wanted to try to find some questions to ask you.
Okay. Uh-oh. Putting me on the spot.
Putting you on the spot. So just how hung is Greg? No, I'm kidding.
Oh. Isn't that supposed to be my question?
That's right. That's supposed to be her
Why
question.
Are you wanting to know that?
Okay, so...
You really make me wonder, Jeffo.
Draco's wife is now going to come and hunt you down. She's a necromancer. Okay, and she does very, very evil things, so...
So Draco is married.
Yes, he is.
Draco is married. Do you have any offspring?
He does. He has 3 kids at this point.
Are they played by actual characters, or...?
2 of which are just myself and Sestra's alts. One of which recently came over to EQ2, is an old friend of mine, played MMOs with him for years, and he wanted to roll in Ixar. He had no idea about what to do with the story for the race, and so I kind of said, well, you're more than welcome to participate in this sense, and he's like, oh sure, more than happy to, and kind of took off with the story and ran with it. So Varan, he's named after Draco's original or a son from EQ1.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of Draco named the new child after that son who was murdered by dark elves.
Ooh, wow.
And that's why he hates dark elves.
Well, I can certainly understand that. I'm going to put our bartender right here in the shower. There we go.
Bartender in the shower?
Yeah, I moved
You're
our
bartender. You're not trying to water down the drinks, are you?
No watering down the drinks. I just realized, probably kind of awkward having a pool party when everyone's soliciting to the show. Oh, well, that's all right. Well, I figured if people were going to come to the pool party, that maybe we can make it a, not a weekly event, but maybe every month invite people down. I don't know. Okay, so you have kids, one of which is played by an extra person. What are Ixar children called? Do they have a special name?
Children, they can be called any number of things.
Like hatchlings or something?
Hatchlings, probably the best. Depending on their cast, of course, back in Kabilis, they were called any number of things because they were pretty much expected to perform right away, right when they were reborn, no matter how young they were. One of my personal favorites was, of course, the beginning ranking in the Court of Pain, that being Whiff. So they called you a Whiff because it sounded like the sound of a tail moving from side to side. They called you a Whiff, yes. But a hatchling's probably the most prominent term.
All right, so hatchlings. All right, let's see.
Or young ones. Draco calls them young ones.
Well, it's kind of... that's pretty common amongst non-humanoids, actually, I've noticed from role-playing. It's like, come, young ones, you know, that kind of thing. That's pretty common. That's not exclusive to the Ixar.
No.
Let's see here.
Ooh, I just thought of Youngling, too.
Yep, Youngling.
Random things come popping to my head. You're not moving more of the guild hall into the shower, are you?
No, sorry about that. Somebody asked me how to tune into the show, so I had to point them to Online Gaming Radio. Online Gaming Radio, where the elite come to meet.
Well, you might want to put that in channel, you know, or I can try.
Well, just you don't have to give them the whole URL there. It's just onlinegamingradio.com, and then they can click listen live instead of trying to, you know, live online gaming radio. slash OGR.M3U, you know.
No, that's what I did.
Lyra's here, who is not a Frostfell elf.
I was figuring I should probably answer that question. No, Ixar do not celebrate Frostfell.
They don't? Why not?
They do not.
Why not?
Because they think it's a silly soft-skin holiday, of course.
And of course, you know, I would imagine that Ixar do not enjoy the cold.
Well, somewhat. There's been a huge debate as to whether or not they're warm or cold-blooded. What was interesting was that you had people fairly certain a long time ago, back when EQ1 was out and about, that Ixar were warm-blooded. And there was a whole host of debates going on about how, well, you know, they wouldn't be able to operate for long periods of time, they'd have to stop and get their energy, they'd have to warm themselves, they would pretty much petrify if they went to Velius. So all of these theories kind of went into the fact that they were warm-blooded. Well, you come over to EQ2, and that debate kind of got settled. Supposedly, the EQ2 devs made the Ixar cold-blooded. If you look at them through any kind of heat-bearing vision, they look like a zombie. So and they don't emit breath and ever frost.
You know, that's something I actually noticed with Chethel last time I tried. Now, when you're using infravision, do you see yourself in the infravision spectrum?
You know, I don't know, because all I have is Aquavision and all my character Ixar are.
See.
There you go.
Because I go to Infravision and Jethel is nothing. I see nothing. Let's see. Rowane, who is right next to me, has no heat signature. Shiver, who just ran past me, does have a heat signature, but it's very, very faint. All the NPCs have a normal heat signature.
Why doesn't Rowane have a heat signature?
Well, what I'm thinking is Wood Elf, for some reason, is screwed up that way. Lyra has one. So do Sylphlay, who is also here. But yeah, I don't know.
That's weird.
Kind of weird that I don't have a heat signature. Actually, let me pull out and look from a distance. Nope, still nothing. Everyone else has one but me. So it could be just a self thing.
Possibly.
I don't use infravision a whole lot because I notice you can't use it through walls, so what's the point?
Well, rose-colored goggles will give you infravision, too. And that was from Coramine. That person. From Befallen.
Oh, Clorny.
I do have a question from the channel.
Okay.
All the races have that race quest they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
What do the Ixars get?
The Ixar?
Mm-hmm.
Good their race question. The racial quest in Freeport you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. They do get a book. I don't know if they get any furniture. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think they get any furniture. If I remember doing that quest and not getting any furniture besides the stuff that you get for doing the in-room quest. I don't think they get any special XR furniture. You do get some XR furniture for doing quests on Queen Arc, of course, and then the new Rhyme quests that have been put out have like XR bookshelves and stuff like that you can pick up.
Yeah, but I mean, for what do you get for your racial quest?
As far as furniture is concerned?
Just, what do you get? Period.
A bag.
That's it.
A bag, some Kunar crisps. Kunar crunchies. I had those for a while and never deleted them. And then a book that tells the racial history.
A book?
A book.
A book? A book? A book? I'm going to have to
book that all other races get.
No, we don't. What else don't get a book? We get... What do we get? We get a flower or something, and then high elves get a bush or something, and...
Do you get a... Is that for the ones in Kinos or the ones in Kalithan?
Kinos. Wherever the starting city is for your race, there's supposed to be a racial quest that you can do.
Right.
So, somewhere in Freeport, there's a racial quest for you to do.
Right, and I did that, and I don't think that we get any furniture, no.
But you get
the
book.
We get the book. It's a good book. It's on the Archive of Vic. Shameless plug. Once
I'm going to have to get that.
You get a bag and you get some Kunar crisps or Kunar crunchies or...
Kunar crunchies?
Yes.
So I'm going to have to create an Iskar and go over and get the Iskar book. See, I collect books.
And
unless, of course, there's some friendly Iskar that wants to give me their book for my place.
My book is mine! It's mine! I'm telling you, it's mine!
Well, hon, all you need to do is create an Iskar alt... And give them permission to...
Yeah, I know. And run them through the quest and get it. Yes, I know.
That's all you need.
Yep.
Yeah, they're linked to Kunark crisps.
But you eat those and they're gone.
They're gone pretty quick. I actually saved mine for a very, very long time, though. I thought that it was a funny little item to have. It just sat in my bags for a very, very long time.
Well, if I remember right, dark elves don't get... Well, not dark elves. Yeah, dark... Is it dark elves? Or Aerisize? I guess the dark elves, they don't get anything either. They get like a necklace or something. Or maybe I'm thinking the Aerisize. I think they get a spell and a necklace or something. See, not all the racial crests give some sort of house item. Just some do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got a book, I'm going to have to definitely check that out.
Street book.
I want the book. I have a very big library, and I want to expand it even further.
You have a massive library that almost makes me want to almost makes my computer crash.
Sorry.
Wow, that's a lot of books.
Well, there's over 350 that I have, but I know that there's over 400 and something, so I'm missing like 100 books still.
Eesh.
Yeah.
And how long did you spend going out and collecting all those pages?
These are all the books I've collected since the beginning of time. Basically, when we got out of beta and started in. So, I've never thrown away any of my books. I have some books from that were... You could only get them from the Temple of Life for a short period of time to commemorate the days of darkness where... The server went down for like 3 days right after EQ started. I think it was like 2 or 3 months after EQ started, the servers went down
for three days. I remember that.
About 3 days, yeah.
Yep.
And there's a book that you can get to commemorate that, or you could back then. It's a no-trade stand. It's a stack of books. I have a couple of those stacked away somewhere. That was our first stack of books, too. That. So yeah, I have quite a collection, and I enjoy them.
A massive stack of books.
Hey, well, I'm into lore, okay? And,
hey, there's nothing wrong with
and
that.
They're all stories of lore. I mean, you didn't know about, you know, through these lore books is what, you know, I found out about the Leatherfoots and the Kithacor Rangers, you know, taking down Nariak. That's in the lore books.
Mm-hmm.
Cauldron Hollow, in the lore books. Yeah, I have Book of the Dead.
There's lore other than Ixar lore?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, but most of it's wrong.
But I have histories of every single race. You know, I have all the Heritage Quest books. I don't know, I just like to collect them. The more unusual, the better.
You don't have the history of the Ixar book, therefore your collection isn't complete.
Yes, I do have the history of the Ixars.
She can't even say it.
Ixars. Lizards. A lizard. Now, my best friend was a lizard. I had two best friends, and they were both Shadow Knights. One was a lizard.
Oh, sure. We've all heard this.
Emoto.
One of my best friends is a lizard. I'm not racist. You know...
He used to feign death a lot. We used him as a couch.
What nice. Self-respecting Crusader of Grimus would do this?
Barzak would.
I don't know.
The only thing he ever really got upset at me for is when I'd go around munching on lizard on a stick. He really got upset at that.
But that's not Ixar, that's Lizard Man.
I know, but he felt that that was not right, especially in front of him.
Wrong.
I know, but they were tasty. I could make them, and I needed something, you know?
You know what?
It's like I eat dwarf chops, too, but we won't go for that.
You know, I think you wood elves are barbaric creatures.
What's that?
I think you wood elves are just barbaric creatures.
Well, I wouldn't say we're barbaric. I don't think we're barbaric. We're more unruly. You know what? I did actually have a bunch of questions written down for you. But I can't find them. I know I
mean,
I mailed them to myself from work, and now I can't seem to find them.
Spam box.
I want to know one thing. You know,
yeah, maybe in the spam area.
Iskar's got tails, and I know lizard men, you know, I can take their tails, you know. Your tail doesn't fall off when it's get pulled on or something, right?
I would imagine not.
I would sincerely hope not.
Have you ever had anybody pull on your tail?
It's a very, 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 very bad idea.
Okay.
But they have. Oh. They pull the tail and then they survive an average of about 0.5 seconds.
That would be a massive blood loss. Record.
I mean, I won't pull that hard, but, you know, I'm just curious.
Okay. Nope, damn it, I don't see it. Crap. Nope, oh well. Well, wing it. I think we're doing just fine as it is.
How about if anyone has a question, they can send me a tell. I'm just sitting on Draco. They're more than welcome to send me a tell, and I'll field questions as I get them.
Or, of course, we got...
What server are you on?
The OGR channel.
Antonia Bale, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we got...
The OGR channel also, yes.
Or OGR channel, yeah. That would be quickest for you.
Yep, if you have any questions, go ahead and blurt them out, or send Elquin, myself, or... or Draco a tell, and we will field questions as we get them. Would Ixars like the troll chair?
The troll chair.
And she linked a troll chair. I would imagine it'd be kind of uncomfortable.
Where the hell would they put their tail?
Well, you see, there's a spot there in the back for them to put their tail through.
They might get stuck with that one.
Now, see, what I don't get, have you ever seen what they call the Karen tail? A Karen chair?
Why does it have a little hole?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
It has a solid back. That's dumb.
That's silly.
It is silly.
All the Ixar chairs in Kunark had this nice, or at least EQ1 Kunark had this nice big opening in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And while the stool looks like it'd be more comfortable than most, that looks still very, it does not look very comfortable.
perhaps more comfortable if it didn't have those big spikes coming out of the legs.
I'm being dared to ask a question.
Okay, go for it.
Why are Iskar females? Why do they go around showing off their nude secondary female characteristics? Their frills.
Their frills? Because
or
they're
now frilics. I guess they're assuming that you're like the what were those people in the Star Trek Next Generation that with the huge ears?
Oh, goodness, this is escaping me.
Quark was one of them.
Ferengi.
Ferengi,
okay,
that's
now,
right.
That's the word he's using.
Now,
Frilix. Right.
Okay, now,
they're
showing
off their frillix.
I don't think the Ixar frills are considered a sexual...
I can't say it right. He's splitting it into two little words. I am dumb when it comes to pronunciation.
Frillix.
Frillix?
That's what frillix. It looks like. Frillix.
Frillix. The Ixar female frillix are... I don't know if you could necessarily equate them to dare I say, mammaries. But they do have a few things that, well, I guess you could roll them into that category. They regulate heat. I think that was one that I saw.
Yeah,
and then another trait is that they, when it's that time they emit a pheromone. They fan out and they emit a pheromone.
Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to see mammaries. You can't see boobs or breasts or even tits on this show. It's all right.
Tits! Okay,
say nipples!
Now, see, what I was thinking was you can equate them to the elven ear. The elven ear is actually a very strong erogenous zone.
It is?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
This is news to me.
I remember one time I was role-playing with, I don't know if you know who Morian is. She's pretty big in role-play on the Antonio Bill server. And Jethel had done something, I don't remember what it was, but she twisted his ear. And I sent her a tone, like, do you realize what you just did? And she's like, what? I'm like, you equate that to kicking him in the balls. That's what you just did.
Oh, God. I don't know. So the question was that why don't they cover them?
I suppose.
Why do they go around showing off their nude secondary female characteristics?
Because I don't think that Ixar have the same standards of what is proper and what is improper.
Well,
I think that's the best way that I could probably put it. I mean, they don't. The body is a wonderful thing. It's something to be proud of. Every single muscle, every scale, everything that you have, every scar, something that is should display with pride.
There are a couple of races, I believe, that if it wasn't for the modesty of others, would go around naked. Ixar, Karen, Wood Elf, definitely.
Ratonga,
I don't think is very comfortable in their clothes. I think those are some races that I think would prefer to go naked.
Frogluck
as well, yep.
The Fae's.
Oh, Fae's, I can see being naked all... Yeah, I can see them being naked all the friggin' time. the Fae's and Aerosite.
Frogluck's and Iskar's and who else did we say?
Let's see, there was the Ixar's, Frogluck's, Wood Elves.
Ratonga's.
Ratonga's. Actually, Dark Elves probably as well, except, you know, no.
Getting back, just stick with the basics, hon. You know, the Ratonga's, the Karens, the Frogluck's, and the Ixar's.
Well,
they
basically,
the
non-humanoid.
Yeah.
Ixar stand on 2 feet. They stand upright. What's non-humanoid about that?
Well, I'm just saying they already have protection, you know, in their scales.
True.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got, you know, the other two races are furry. They've got fur that they got to contend with. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be hot to put leather and armor over their own fur.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frogluck's, well, I don't know about Frogluck's. Did they like to wear armor or clothing? Or, I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, all natural for them is more comfortable, too. Are we forcing them to wear clothing?
Yes.
Because we're in a different, you know, because they're coming into a more clothed
coming into a soft skin city with soft skin standards. How dare you? but as a random side note, I remember that when Draco used to tell stories about his... He was a member of the Court of Pain a long, long time ago. He would tell stories about how if any soft skin would go through that, they would be totally embarrassed. They would never. They know too much humility because he would train. He would train nude. They would whip him. They would do all this other kind of stuff, and they would look at him and they'd stare at him like, "What are you talking about? Why would they make you do that?" It's just like that's our way of life. That's the way that we live. It's the way that we do things. They were a pretty brutal culture.
Well, if I remember right, the parents never even raised their young.
They didn't. At least according to the Vince show, they didn't. I remember all the time when I was first learning about my Ixar lore that we had something called, or the Ixar had something called the Hatching Grounds. Mm-hmm. And the females would go there, and they would... deposit their eggs in this place, and then they'd leave. That would be it. The eggs would stay there. They'd be raised by the diviners and the mystics, and then they would be reborn from there into one of the individual castes.
Hmm.
Reborn being, like, chosen. They were chosen to go and become a part of the Court of Pain. They were chosen to become a part of the Temple of Terror. All this other stuff. They really had no contact with their parents. At least they really did not know. They really did not know who their parents were in many, many cases. I think that there was exceptions in nobility, and there was noble castes and noble rungs within Kabilis. The temple's knights and the temple's the temple's crusaders would talk about nobles living within the city. I just don't really think you got to see much of them because the palace, as it was called, of Kabilis was not accessible to players. It was being, quote, constructed. so you really didn't get to see anything of the court or Vekin, or I'm sorry, not the court of nobles, I should say, not the court of pain, or anything like that. He ruled with a quiet iron fist. But yeah, they really didn't have that much of a connection to their parents. I think that there was a connect. Their only connection that they really got was if they were noble tied, and I think that you got some privileges in that sense where you were able to have know who your parents are, be raised by your parents, because they were trying to teach you to grow up in their footsteps so that you could, of course, fill their shoes. But other than that, yeah, they the hatching grounds, I believe it was called, or at least we called it that way.
That name makes sense to me, hatching grounds.
Now, I have another question. Is there any special mating ritual, like a dance, or do you show up with flowers and a box of, fireflies or dragonflies? You know, I'm not sure what you guys find as treats. You sing songs to them outside their window. Yeah, little pieces of meat.
Raw fish.
I mean, you do come in with fish string around your neck, or come on, what? The opposite sex here.
If I had a dollar for every time I was asked this question, I'd be a very, very wealthy man right now. Extremely wealthy. To the point that every single time someone asks me, I kind of go, okay. To be honest, how do I explain it? People have come up to me before and gone, so, you're the guy that knows a lot about Ixar, right? Yeah. I'm that guy. Can I ask you a question? Sure, absolutely. Ask away. How do Ixar do it?
Carefully.
Yeah, but we're not talking about doing it yet. We're talking about the wooing part.
Well, you know what? There's a good question. Do Ixar woo, or do they just take their mate?
Like, meet me in the hatching ground in 5 minutes, okay, babe? Is that it?
All I'm picturing right now is Futurama and Zoidberg going back to his home planet.
Oh, God.
Look at me! Look at me! I'm swollen with male jelly. What's not to love?
Yeah. Well, back in Kabilesian times, at least from my understanding, there was references of mates that were together, that they were life partners. Like, you would find a few people standing around in Kabilis that share the same last name. I don't think that they actually talked about their mate openly, though. They kind of took it in a more professional sense. We're working in such and such together. This is my partner. This is my, my cohort. According to my understanding, and I could very well be corrected, because this is kind of been dancing into the area that a lot of developers don't really touch.
Of course.
Our understanding of it was, again, along the terms of the hatching grounds, is that you were chosen. You were selected from a pool of able partners, and you were paired with someone else that would supposedly produce viable offspring for the culture.
By the elders or by their prospective mate?
By the diviner.
By the diviner.
I think that would call diviners or mystics diviners and mystics. They'd be paired together, and that would kind of be it. They would have a designated time. They'd go, they'd have fun, and then they'd walk away from each other and probably never see each other again. The eggs would be deposited inside the hatching grounds, and that'd be that. I actually got this exact same question asked to me the other day, and in modern day Norath, I think I remember telling him, in modern day Norath, that it's kind of a little bit of a, it's it's hard to explain, because what you have going on now is you don't have Kaaba Legion culture telling them what to do.
Right.
You don't have elders, diviners, and everything like that coming and saying, ooh, well, you know, you two would make good partners, let's put you together. So I think that you have instead more soft skin kind of rituals and practices coming into the culture. It's bleeding in. We have some culture, what's the sociological term? Cultural diversification happening, where they're kind of picking up from the other races, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And what you'll see probably is those Ixar that feel still the same way, that we should bond and partner with each other because we feel that we would produce strong offspring, because that's the old ways and that's what we feel is right. You probably have Ixar that will go just like any other human and say, hey baby, you're hot, let's get together. They'll decide to date. You might have Ixar that actually forcefully claim a partner because they're just, again, kind of that way. You might have... oh, goodness, I had something coming off the tip of my tongue. But as far as them trying to attract the other sex in some senses, I think that you'd more see kind of very... Like, if a female were looking to a male and she wanted to court that male, she would, of course, show that male why she'd be a good mate in this sense. But I think it's easier to explain it from the male perspective, where you have a male, Swifttail, would probably show her all of his scars and say, look, I have this one over here, and it was in this glorious battle against such and such and such and such. You know, ooh, that's so interesting. That's so... You're so strong. That kind of stuff. I mean, you have a very... kind of brutal culture. And that of course, without the elders telling them what to do anymore, you have more of course dating and them trying to get together in different ways, with their cultural standards still kind of bleeding through and not necessarily going away.
Right.
I guess is the best way that I could say.
I get what you're saying. You know, you got to posture, you got to prove yourself worthy as a mate.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure in Ixar, in other, I hate to say less civilized, that's the only thing that comes to mind to compare to cultures, you know, it's not about, oh, I love him, he's so wonderful, look at the poem. No, it's who's going to make the best babies.
Not just who's going to make the best babies, but who's the strongest for me.
Yeah.
Who's the able provider? Mm-hmm. Who's the guy that's going to go out there and, you know, protect me? This
right.
big, muscular, broad...
It's primal.
...in front of me when saber-toothed tiger over there is going to come over here and try and maim me and my young.
Right. And you know what? That's also the answer. If we have any teenagers listening who has ever asked themselves, why does that hot cheerleader like that butt ugly guy from the football team? That's why. It's the primal, he's big and bad. This guy's going to protect me. That's the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Something I never could understand when I was in junior high. Why is she going out with that guy with a pizza face? Because he's on the football team. That's why.
You're talking to a psych major who's actually studied this stuff, and instinct still does hold on quite tight, believe it or not.
But of course, Ixar, when you're talking about meeting... Or at least I should say reproduction. But I'm not talking about pleasure here. I'm talking about reproduction. Of course, Ixar have to go for other Ixar. You cannot crossbreed.
No. It's kind of like saying, you're a good-looking Komodo dragon over here. Let's kind of get it on and see what happens. No, that doesn't happen.
Nope, not
it
happening.
Just doesn't happen.
I'm not saying that non-Ixars don't have sex with Ixars. I'm sure that happens in roleplay sense all the time. But there are certain races that certainly just cannot crossbreed. And non-humanoids cannot crossbreed with the more humanoid ones. Pretty much.
That is correct.
Am I really embarrassing the crap out of you now?
Hey, want to take any more questions? Let's move back to the channel now. Okay, let's see. We have Okay.
No
Ratonga's and Karens. Maybe, possibly. I don't know. Well,
no, they cannot crossbreed. Sorry. I've actually started redoing a section that I used to have at Kithacore.org of mating habits and sexual conquests of the different races. Called it what the heck did I call it? The Guide to Carnal Pleasures in a Roleplay Environment. It was done a long time ago for Dungeons and Dragons, but I have redone it for Norrath. I had deleted it from Kithacore.org, thinking that I had a copy of it saved on my hard drive. No, I do not. So I'm having to redo it, and I actually came out with a chart.
You should ask me. I have it bookmarked.
Well, you have it bookmarked, but it's no longer on the server. You don't have it backed up. But anyway, I actually have a chart written up. You know, 18 races across, 18 down. You know, it's a big old chart there. And, you know, it's, you know, white, or I'm sorry, green for 100% compatible. That would be where each race meets each other on the chart. Then to, like, yellow for possibly, you know, it's compatible, but not 100%. And then red, no way in hell.
We do have a decent question up here now about something similar. Did you happen to put Ixar and Sarnak together over there or no?
Ixar and Sarnak on the mating chart?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Isn't that how Sarnak started anyway? Was when they took Ixars and brooded them with dragons?
No. Do not pay attention to the WTF comics for canon. He's a very, very, very good writer, and he has a lot of very good lore, but absolutely not. it's kind of like saying, and I actually used this comparison not too long ago also, can a human and a baboon have offspring?
No, they're not the same race.
Well,
species.
It's kind of similar in that sense that you have similar traits, similar genetics and stuff like that. I mean, we are genetically similar to a chimpanzee, but
no,
we
you're
can't,
not compatible.
Yeah, you're still not compatible in that sense.
Just like
Sarnak were created magically, using the blood of an Ixar, yes, and the blood of a dragon by Atrebi's experiments. That does not mean that, oh, well, they're born of Ixar, therefore they can get together with an Ixar and that will work, because
I don't think an Ixar would. You guys don't like the Sarnaks. Anyway.
No.
You think they're an inferior race.
But most of the old school Ixar, yes. But I could see a relationship happening, perhaps, but I don't think that it will ever touch on offspring. I don't think it will ever be able
to. Well, that's kind of like half-elves. Half-elves are really cannot mate with anyone. They're if you look at it from a biological standpoint, their genes are already thinned out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I put in the chart, and I'm going to make it available as soon as I'm done with it, it's the red things are no way or must have magical intervention.
Wouldn't it be kind of like mules? I mean, a donkey.
Right, mules.
Take a donkey and a horse, and they get a mule. And a mule can't be
bred. A mule cannot be bred again.
No. That's terrible. I don't think they're
Stubborn
has a mule. But
kind of an insulting analogy. But yeah, the half-elves are kind of like the mules. You cannot breed from them. You can only make them. But anyway. Besides, would you really want to see a crossbreed between an Ixar and a Sarnak? Sarnaks are just, you know, kind of ass ugly as it is. And I know I'm going to get
aren't they bigger than an Ixar?
I think they... Well, in game they are.
Yes.
In game they are. In EQ1, they were not. The Sarnaks were very small in EQ1. They were about...
My friend is a female Sarnak. She's at the shortest setting. Draco's at the tallest setting. She's still a full head taller than Draco is. But, let's see here. Do I want my... What? Do I want to sit my Smexy-scaled butt on your Ixar throne?
What? Who said that?
Should I embarrass this person?
Why I think they just incriminated themselves in the in the chat channel there. But anyway.
It was not him.
Oh, okay.
I know it was not him.
But you want to talk about...
They just incriminated themselves now, though.
Is it Lyra?
No.
Katrina.
Katrina.
Katrina, who is Cade's roleplay daughter.
I have my own Ixar throne, thank you very much, that I like to sit on.
Still like to know where in the hell you put your tail on that thing. Anyway.
No tail hole.
I have another lore question for you.
Lore question!
Is there any lore around that told what happened to the old EQ1 Ixar factions like the Green Mist? Or even where they went after their city went bye-bye?
Green Mist?
The old factions of the Ixar. There was Green Mist, and there was some other factions that the Ixar have.
Green Mist wasn't a faction, actually. That was something different. Are you talking more along the lines of Kabilis and whatnot? Like the old empire before it was all destroyed and then reformed again? So, like, transition from EQ1 to EQ2, is that what you're talking about?
I'm waiting for a response back from them.
Okay.
That's the problem trying to ask.
And I'm being told by our lore person, Clorny, that half-elves can breed amongst themselves now, he believes. And Sarnak are into generic engineering.
Genetic engineering, you mean?
Genetic. Sorry, yes.
Genetic. That would be along the lines of intervention, though. Genetic engineering is intervention, not natural. But anyway.
She's saying the one you know was called the Green Mist? That was a faction?
Well, I know there's a sword called the Green Mist.
The sword was called the Green Mist, and of course the creation that freed the Ixar originally, saved them from the Erlosians a second time, was called the Green Mist. I don't know of any tribe that was called the Green Mist. I know of what happened.
It was four factions in the city.
Four factions in Kabilis.
Yes. Whatever happened to all them?
Trooper Talishan, Court of Pain, Temple of Terror, and the Tower of Fear. I think I'm naming them correctly. Those are the four. Court of Pain was...
You can see that over in the jungle right now, aren't they?
The Tabernacle of Pain, yes. The Swifttails formed their own sect within the Kunzar jungle. And they're currently known as the Tabernacle of Pain. They still have Grandmasters. They still follow the rungs as they were originally established. If you want to go and kind of experience a little bit of Ixar lore, the Shackle Quests are all that we Ixar back in the day had to do, the old-fashioned way, so to speak. It was the ranking structure within the court. Each Shackle had a rank. And each Shackle within that Court of Pain in the Tabernacle has a rank associated with it. If you follow through that, you can go straight from start to finish. Except that the difference in the Tabernacle to now is that the Tabernacle or the old Court of Pain, to get the Tynonium Shackle, you actually had to go and see Khazad-dûl, if I remember correctly. You got to go and speak to the Papa Ixar, or Papa Faceless, for the Tynonium Shackle. The Fortress Talishan, let's see here.
And they're also asking what happened to the Green Mist Crusaders.
Crusaders of Green Mist.
They're calling them the Green Mist Crusaders.
They were called the Crusaders of Green Mist. they were established established by Ryle. Ryle Sather founded them. They were part of Sebalesian culture for a very, very long time. What happened to them? That's an interesting question. I'm not sure if we've... Well, actually, I take that back. There is still a faction of the Crusaders of Green Mist, and they still, if I, this is according, if I'm understanding what I read correctly, they are still around, and they are still loyal to Kazik. If you do the Green Mist Heritage Quest, you get to start, talk to certain people that were from the original Crusaders of Green Mist, and they still kind of hallow Ryle as being a great hero in some senses. They tout Green Mist as being the sacred blade of Kazik Thule. It's kind of their symbol. Wielding Green Mist is a great, great honor amongst the Crusaders of Green Mist. Let me see here. The Scaled Mystics were also part of the Temple of Terror. But I think that a lot of the other kinds of castes, when Kabilis fell apart, you had more of them kind of being pushed into Sebalus under Sather in similar yet different ways. In my exploration of Sebalus, I really haven't seen much in the lines of certain castes. Once again, I mean, you'll find necromancers in Sebalus, for example, in the libraries, and you'll find monks in Sebalus within the training grounds, and you'll find troopers within the barracks and everything like that. So you still have remnants of the Fortress Talishan, which was the Beast Lords and the warriors, the Temple of Terror, which was the Crusaders, and the Mystics, and the Tower of Fear, which was the Necromancers, also known as the the Nihilists of Kabilis. I think they were called the Nihilists, or sorcerers in some senses. Necromancy was their sorcery, or they called it sorcery because all other kinds of magic was forbidden to Kabilis. You more have, I think, a blending of culture once again, where you have all the cultures kind of coming together, and or all the castes kind of coming together inside Sebalus. I don't really see very divided, should I say, castes within the city itself. And if they are, then, well, they're kind of divided within the different sections of the city, as would be a dungeon. So I'm not sure as to what necessarily happened to them, if Veneral kept them, if he got rid of them. That'd be an interesting thing to possibly pursue. Post on the archive. I'd be interested to see.
I just wanted to announce right now that we have a badger in the hot tub area. Oh, shampoo. Okay. Badgers.
No, Kotiz is not... It was called the Brood of Kotiz. It wasn't a rank within the temple, or the Tower of Fear, excuse me. I think Kotiz was the one who founded them. But I do not believe that they called themselves Kotiz. They called themselves of the Brood of Kotiz. They called themselves Nihilist Sorcerers, and then they actually had ranks called Liches and Demi-Liches, I think, or Arch-Liches and whatnot, which is kind of interesting because they rather did not like Veneral Sather. And Veneral Sather at that point in time was a Lich and was an enemy of the Empire, but I don't know. Lore writers, what can you do with them?
Well, we had to make a correction. What was it? The Halfling Heritage, hun?
Which? For what?
Where we had to correct the information of Kethkor.
It was Halflings.
Yeah, they actually listed Kethkor as a human ranger.
Yeah, no, as a...
You know, they listed him as a human ranger. And we had to correct that, because he was definitely a wood elf.
That's true.
The only wood elf in EQ1 that was on Karana faction. And not Tenair.
Well, to answer Therius once again...
Therius.
Is it Therius?
Therius. Yeah, Therius, yeah.
Okay. I've actually heard of these roleplayers as well, and I don't know if they're necessarily wrong. I think that they're... it just isn't an official rank. It wasn't a what was commonly called within Kabilis, I guess I should say. If they call themselves that, well, more power to them. It's their roleplay. It's their character. They're more than welcome to do as they please. But I would think that it'd be more along the lines, if they did use it, it'd be kind of in recognition of who the founder of the Brood of Coaches, but it really wasn't a rank to call themselves a coaches. Well, that might almost be even kind of leaning upon the realm of what you're calling yourself Archduke, you're calling yourself Ryle, you're calling yourself, how could you do that, at least amongst the hardest of hardcore in as far as old ways are concerned. But yeah, I mean, there's no necessarily right or wrong. If they want to call themselves coaches, they're more than welcome to. It's their character. But it wasn't an official rank within the Tower of Fear.
Right. Let's see. We have questions about the Shizar. Tell us about the Shizar.
The Shizar are going to be supposedly elaborated on more in the near future from what I'm hearing. Don't tell anyone I told you that. actually, discussions at Fanfare kind of hand that out, that we might learn more about the origins of the Shizar.
Well, all I gotta say is they better not open the moon to travel.
Oh, no.
That was, as far as I'm concerned, that was the downfall of EQ1.
I didn't mind it, but just keep away from it. We don't need to be going to the moon or alternate dimensions. Oh, wait, we already did that.
Well, that was my huge beef with EQ2. We got bored with it. It's like, you know, this is a medieval role-playing game. Why are there aliens here?
I don't know. Why are there aliens here? Well, Rod said Knife is an alien.
Well, yeah, but, you know, he's, you know, at least he was around at launch, I think. But anyway.
And his temple is a UFO. Mm-hmm. Don't believe me? Go just check out the Temple of Light. But anyway, aren't the Shizar all gone? I've read forums, or read the history and lore forums. There was supposedly the Shizar possessed a calendar of sorts, and they were able to tell when bad things were going to happen. So, in technicality, they could have very well known that the moon was going to curse explode.
And then made preparations to maintain their race.
Exactly. So we haven't seen them again. But it's a very strong possibility that they survived. We don't know where, really, they came from. Mm-hmm. At least at this point in time, we really don't know where they came from. Early written probably their earliest written history is, of course, in the Ixar lore books, where they have, they were the Ixar's slave keepers, so to speak. The Ixar were slaves. That's where the Ixar's timeline starts, because all written history of them beforehand really doesn't exist. And if it does, it's very, very sparing. The Shizar enslaved them, and they kind of sort of PO'd their own gods. They really did some bad things that ticked off their gods, and so it isn't sure as to whether or whether not that's what kind of spurred on the Green Mist. It isn't, and there's been debates about the Green Mist for a very, very long time. I'm a huge advocate toward it being unknown at this point in time, and I know that other people have been very adamant about opposing that viewpoint, but as the Shizar were kind of doing things that they shouldn't be doing, the clouds kind of converged, and this face showed up in the clouds and spoke in this tongue that the Ixar really couldn't recognize. And when it finished, it opened its mouth, and out came the Green Mist, and it just pretty much obliterated, or near obliterated, the entire Shizar race. Those that tried to get away blew themselves to Luckland, basically, where they resided in the Gray. It was kind of funny that the Gray was this vacuum area, because they were so paranoid about the Green Mist coming back and getting them again, that they made it so that nothing could get through this vacuum space to their temple.
Yes, it was really funny the first time you actually discovered the Gray Wastes. It's like, hey, I wonder what this place is over here. What the hell? So unless you had enduring breath or something like that, you're pretty screwed. Especially if you weren't looking for your breath bar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, why would I need to pay attention to that? I'm in an outdoor zone. Why am I dead all of a sudden?
Fishbone earring. Are there any connect relationships between the Drogue and the Ixars? No. I don't think so, no.
All right.
Drogue are creation of the Awakened Cult. At least that's my understanding. They are a creation of the Awakened Cult. Ixar really have no connection to that.
All right. So to hell with your drogues.
Ixar would have learned not to create slaves of their own. Yeah, that's kind of funny. Necromancy, the Tower of Fear, was founded off of the principles of their slavers. The Shisar. So all the teachings of the Brood of Kotiz were founded off of the knowledge of the Shisar. So in technicality, they were basically living, breathing hypocrites.
Lovely.
They were like, hey, we hate the Shisar, we hate everything that has to do with the Shisar, but that magic's really cool, let's get that. Come on, let's start teaching our youngness.
Woohoo! Hey, we know one day this thing might destroy us, but it's so freaking cool! You know, it's kind of like, look at the shiny red button. I wonder what it does. It says don't push.
And what's even more interesting is that there's more arcane magic out there that isn't necessarily as, heretical based, I guess you could say, in the Ixar's mind, such as sorcery, wizardry, that kind of stuff. Oh, no, forbidden. Can't practice it here. The only Ixar wizards and whatnot were forsaken. They were outcast. They were not allowed to do that. Phyllis.
Damn them.
They were walking, talking hypocrites.
A bunch of bastards, what they were. All right. So before we continue, now that we have a dead spot, before we continue, we do need to do something.
We do?
We do.
We got a person here in the Legion of Kethagor named Krellick. Hello, Krellick. How are you? And this past weekend was his birthday! So here's a visit from the Birthday Trolls!
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday!
Alright, so happy birthday to Krellick. I wish I knew it was his birthday this weekend before it actually happened. We could have had him up here for some cake and whatnot. Oh well.
We did pretty good. We got him some station cash and a kitty for free realms.
Aww. You and your free realms.
And speaking of free realms, we have a branch in the free realms. My thing is, I don't know if I can pronounce the friggin' name.
Let me see here. Let me go to our forums.
I told you how to say it. Now I can't remember how to say it.
I can't remember crap. That's why I have a live show. If I actually had anything to, you know, remember scripted. Yeah.
But Drellsna came up with the name, and I like the word. I have never heard this word before. I know I'm a speech junkie.
Okay, let's see. Backwards. Rooms. And let me scroll down here.
All sorts of things.
Lacuna.
Lacuna.
The Lacuna of Kethagor.
Lacuna of Kethagor, which means if we're over there playing Free Realms, we're lost.
And I have to agree with that.
Lost. So
very, very lost.
Basically, we got to coordinate times and servers to be on, and I need to know your name. I mean, I can start up Free Realms anytime. I just need to have you over there. And I usually haunt server 2 or 3.
Don't you love how they don't have server names? You're just, number 1.
And then I just add you to the guild, and I'll bump you up to officer so you can grab anybody else that we've got that's over there and you run into. So that's how we do it.
That's how they roll.
If you're over in Free Rams and you'd like to become part of the branch, and you're not in AQ2, and I'm not sure why they'd be listening, we'll let you in.
then you're clinically insane! Congratulations!
So yeah, I like that word. I like how it sounds. Lacuna.
Lacuna.
Lacuna Matata.
No.
That's also a great band.
Makut, that is totally spelled differently.
I know.
Hakuna Matata.
Makuna.
Hakuna.
Hakuna Matata. In the passing craze.
This is Lacuna.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
It's a problem free.
Anyway. Sing it.
Philosophy.
Hakuna Matata. Ah, this stinks!
Sorry.
No, not you!
Gotta love it.
You guys do pretty good.
Now, if only Skype were synchronized, you know, buffered.
Oh, yeah, no kidding.
But, you know, you're like a second or so behind me coming through the screen, stream, so... I've had people ask me before if I could do duets with people. Nah, I can't.
Aww.
Can't do it.
Before I get the question, no, I will not sing You Spin Me Right Round live. Sorry.
You're spinning me right round, baby, right round.
Done it once. We'll not do it again.
Well, hey, you know what we should do is collect these guys' karaoke's to play on the show.
Well, if they're, yeah, they have the,
Yeah, if
videos available, don't they?
Send it to us. Oh, we can pull them off the videos, possibly, unless these guys want to make their own and send it to you.
Can do that.
Well.
All right. So if you went to the fanfare, and participated in the live karaoke, and you have video or audio of it, by all means. Send me a link or email it to me or whatever, and we'll rip the audio out of it. We'll play it here on the show.
But if you don't, and you can get the karaoke, and you have the ability to create it and save it as a file, send it to Jethel. We'll play it for you. I would love to hear you sing. I didn't get to hear anybody sing karaoke that night.
Aww.
Hey, I didn't tell you to leave.
Oh, come on. What was I supposed to do?
If I had the ability to do, I would have gone home at that point, so...
Yeah, I know. So I was supposed to go continue on down the hall? I don't think so. I had to turn around and go with you.
But yeah, if anyone has audio or video of the live karaoke, I'd like to see it, and we'll put it on the show. That's actually a contest I was thinking about doing at one point.
What, having people send in songs?
Oh, not really even original songs. Like, okay, here's the karaoke version of one of my songs. Let's hear you do it.
That'd be cool.
But then my ego gets in the way. What if they're better than me?
Well, yeah, have them send
an Ixar one, and I'll happily do it.
What's that?
I said do an Ixar parody, and I'll happily do a karaoke for it.
Ixar parody. I would need to learn more about the Ixar before I could write a song about them.
Why don't they just send you in one of their karaoke songs?
People do send me lyrics and ideas for songs all the time, actually. The latest one I did, Kinos Rocks, was suggested to me by Spiderbite from Zam.
That was an excellent suggestion, too.
Mm-hmm. The old Drew Carey theme, Cleveland Rocks. I think I made a good one. You know, some people send me stuff that just... No.
Yeah.
What if you don't think Kinos rocks?
What's that?
What if you don't think Kinos rocks?
Well, you know what the thing is? You can change it to just about any city name. Neriak rocks, that works too.
It doesn't quite work out for the Revenants, sadly, because you can all die and burn and everything like that, because we're going to recreate the world in our image.
Oh, I see. So the Ixar have a plot to take over the world, is that it?
Well, pretty much everyone in the Revenants is just using each other to get to their own goals and means and stuff like that, but that's beside the point.
But sooner or later, the gnomes are going to come up with something to blow everything to hell. Is that what you're saying?
Well, if Rejackie has her way, I suppose so.
I have another question for you. What do you think of Iskars that betrayed Akinos so that they could be a true monk?
Interesting question. Because the Court of Pain was not exactly... Okay, a monk is a class term. It doesn't necessarily denote what the lore says about that race in particular for that class. So just because you went to Kinos and said, oh, I'm a monk now, doesn't necessarily mean that you're following the ways of the Swift Tail.
True.
The Swift Tail are Swift Tails are extremely brutal. Go and do the quest in the Tabernacle. I strongly encourage you, if you have, then cool. If you have not, it's a great example. I mean, they have you go up against other members, grandmasters of that particular shackle, and that try to beat you into a freaking bloody pulp in order to get your rankings.
Yeah, but they still consider themselves monks out there, or they consider themselves bruisers out there?
They consider themselves Swift Tails out there. And that's kind of the point that I'm trying to draw, is that...
Yeah, but when you go and really... do the quests over in the Mars islands,
mm-hmm.
There is a quest you do there, and they have monks. They call them monks from the different
from
clans.
The different cast.
They have Swift Tails, and they have I forgot what else they had up there, but I remember they had Swift Tails. But they were considered monks up in there. So,
But the human was calling them monks.
That's true.
The Ixars, the Swift Tails are just... They're not... Yes, they follow... They believe that empowering their body and their mind together is extremely important. They hold certain things that other kinds of monks hold true to themselves in their practices. They train extensively day in, day out. To perfect themselves as physical weapons and everything like that. So they share ideals to some extent. But the Swift Tail cast is not like the Silent Fist clan, in a sense that you could call them monks. The Swift Tail cast is an extremely brutal, nasty group of, I would almost say pugless. I mean, they're not necessarily pugless to some extent, but they are, I mean, for goodness sakes, these are people that will whip their young or whip their students if they're not doing something right to try and push them. These are people that revel in pain. They think that pain is a wonderful thing. If I'm feeling pain, I'm alive.
Oh, God, I just got this vision. I just have this vision of young Ixar trying to learn their disciplines and stuff like that. It's like, am I doing this correctly, Master? And... well, you know, okay, a little like this, foot up like that, put your tail back here, and always remember, oh, wait, worm, you're a lizard,
yes, sir,
it's kind of funny. Did I do that correctly, sir? Yes! Why are you hitting me?
Because you're a whiff, and you deserve it, and because I can.
Exactly.
I have another question for you.
Sure.
And this is from Derpy. D-U-R-P-Y. Githicor server. Derpy. I'm hoping I'm saying that right.
Derpy. Okay.
He has a question about who is the Iskar depicted in the tablets of A Few Coins More? If it's Thurga, who is Thurga? And
Thurga
A Few Coins More Thurga. Is a quest that starts in the Kylon Plains. It starts out with a fistful of metal. Then you move on to A Few Coins More. And then after that, I think there's Ugly Bounty. Yeah, that's about it. There's three in the line. Let's see. Thurga. I'm looking.
Thuga. I know the Tomb of Thuga is the Tomb of Thuga. Where's the... what's the Tomb of Thuga? What raid dungeon is that? Isn't that a raid dungeon?
Thuga? Isn't the spider in there? No.
Is it a Tomb of Thuga, Temple of Thuga? What is it? It's a raid zone. It's a raid zone. I know it's a raid zone.
Tablet of the Lost.
It's in the Fens.
That's the... yes, it's a tomb. Ah.
Teresa the Spider
Thuga.
Queen.
I'm looking at the quest notes, and I'm not finding anything about Thuga.
The tomb.
That's interesting.
I wonder if the Iskar depicted in the tablets of A Few Coins More quest.
list. The devs are going to flog me if any of them are listening. I have not done a few coins more. I have
you
not
need
done
to go do
more.
It.
I know, I guess I do,
I
but...
Coins. Fistful of Metal.
I've heard of it, and I've been encouraged to do it, but I haven't done it before. I have never heard of Thuga. He wasn't mentioned in... I don't remember him.
It's got to be in the NPC quest dialogue. It's not in the quest notes.
Yes, if it's not in the quest notes, it has to be in the NPC dialogue. I have never.
Yeah, you're going to have to go check it out.
So long as it doesn't require me to go into a freaking raid zone. And if it does, hey, I want to tag along!
No, the whole quest line does not take you to a quest zone.
Then I'll have to go and look at it. Maybe I'll post it on the archive.
Yeah, Treeflight's saying Thuga is the Spider Queen's cavern.
Well, Han, apparently you went there for your mythical.
She is telling me that it's Thuga is a ghost in Ixar.
Thuga. You get a band. The quest items that you get when you're done is like the band of or bracelet of, earring, signet, talisman, bangle of Thuga. Yeah. Okay. I remember this line now because I still have the earring of Thuga. Because it's really good.
So that would mean that Thuga was apparently an Ixar who was buried in Fin's and Essar. I'm not sure who this Ixar is now. I'm curious.
Definitely, you went through that quest too. Remember, we had to kill that thing down there where those fishmen were. We had to clear all the fishmen, and then this thing showed up down there. We had to kill.
Thing?
Yeah, Ugly Bounty is the last of it.
I don't remember what I had for breakfast. You want me to remember?
Yeah.
Leviathan.
No. Right. I remember this now. Yeah. Because it starts in Kylon Tet Plains and it takes you to the Fens. You have to work on your Bathazed Watch faction 2 in order to finish this also. But, down there where the froggies are, you got to kill this thing down there.
A thing.
Yeah. This thing.
I want to remember, yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
Murgle! It was Murgle? Murgle. He's got a key.
He changed into a Shizu.
And... Yeah, there's a bunch of nasty stuff down there you got to get rid of. Around the Lake of Ruins. Anyway...
That's interesting. I'll have to definitely read that. I have not heard that tale before. It kind of reminds me of the Brothers Arcut from a long, long time ago. The origin of the Scorpikai, which are the scorpion thingies.
Yeah, if you need any help with that one, I'll come help you with it. It's worthwhile doing.
It's something to do. I think I will do
it.
Yeah,
I think I still have the earring of Thuga, unless I've stuffed it in the bank. Because I have gone and... changed my gear out a little bit. Yeah, I think I have it in the bank because right now I have I have the necklace on me. I am right. Hang on, I'll link it for you. It was the necklace or the earring. I couldn't remember which one I got. And I still have it to this day. You can't do much better than that. I mean, I have a bloodthirsty choker that I swap out with it, and between the two, I really don't know if it's better unless I go to some high-end hall or something. But
that is extremely nice.
Yeah, it is extremely nice.
Ooh,
and it's
that is cool.
Doing it. And hun, you've got that.
Do I?
Or had it? Yes, you did. We drug you through it. Sure. You either got the necklace or the earring somewhere, unless you sold it already.
When the hell did I die? I got to mender myself.
I didn't do it.
I am not wearing that one. I might be in the bank.
Might be in the bank, but you might want to hang on to it. Yeah, see the bangle?
Now this is...
That's some really nice stuff.
So when do you want to go do it, I'll help you do it, because it's well worth it, and you need to do it.
Well, this is what I'm wearing now.
Anytime. I'm around all the time, so just need to pull me aside, and I'll do it.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Makes me wonder about that compared to my Gen X torque. But anyway.
But for the melee class, the necklace is good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I switch it out with that bloodthirsty one that, you know, I got from Fear. But I enjoyed that quest line. I love the names.
It has extra
lore. Full of metal, a few coins more, and Ugly Betty or something. Ugly something or other.
And it starts in Kylan Plain. That's interesting. I would have done it if I knew that it was there. I've never heard of it before.
Well, to start a Fistful of Metal, you need to go to Kylan Plains, and you need to speak with Anda, A-N-D-A. I believe they're on the docks of Kylan Plains. And then they will send you for around to do some things, quite a few things. There's only three quests. There's only three quests to it, you know. But each quest, there's quite a bit to do in each one to fulfill everything. You get a good deal of coin and experience for doing these. And I would suggest doing them.
Okay.
I know a lot of people blow through a lot of content, but through KP, that was one of them I said I've got to do.
It's especially easy in Kunark when you have so many solo quests and they kind of lead you all over the freaking continent.
Well, when I did Kunark, I was at the right age to do it. So I started in Kylan Plains and I did everything I could do in Kylan Plains before I moved on. I mean, there was some things I just couldn't do. I needed a group, so that was fine. I held off on those, but I was already given the next quest to move on. Mm-hmm. You know, and I just went and just did that, you know, zone by zone by zone all the way through. Of course, I had to, when I got to the jungle and stuff, I had to work on faction. When I got to the wastes, I had to work on faction there too for my mythical. And of course, the hammer. God, I love that hammer. It helps you get around. But I think I did everything I could in the Kunark expansion. And yes, a lot of it was solo. And I know a lot of people feel that it was just too much solo. Because if you didn't start out with other people who were working on stuff, it became a little bit hard to get in sync with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at my quest journal. I have two left in Kylan Plains, and they both have to do with, one is Krondor's Castle, the other one has to do with an instance in, really, the Wastes, but the turn-in is for Kylan Plains. Kunark Journal, I have some for City of Mist, and the rest of them seem to be all down in syllabus. Jalsa's Waste has they're all yellows and stuff and heroics that I still have. Fens, I still have a heroic thing, which happens to do with Curran's Tower. So, you know, I have some stuff left over from there, but
I have to ask, Derpy, where are you finding these tablets? Are they part of the Thuka questline, or is there something different?
Sounds like you need to get together with Derpy there.
They're that tablet of the wizard. Like I said, it's stuff you get along the quest.
I'll have to get my hands on those. I really want to put those on the archive. That's really, really cool. That tablet of the ruler might actually be some hints as to possible. I mean, it looks like possible origins of the Shisar. I mean, we have an Ixar predating the Sebelian Empire, depicts an Ixar wizard warrior that assumes the throne of the city-state. During this depiction, he is seen donning ornate bracelets and changing from an Ixar to a snake-like humanoid. Well, that would definitely depict a Shisar, wouldn't it?
Yes.
You gotta do this quest. Gotta do this quest.
Did we find a gap in your lore, hon?
A gap? Yes, I think that you found something pretty big. All the other ones don't really look like... I mean, they just look like hero stories to me, but that one in particular looks very interesting. I do have another question, though, coming from, let me see here. Did you or did you not enjoy the Ferret Cam? Who's asking this?
I don't know.
Draco's son, Varn, is asking whether or not I like the Ferret Cam. Yes, I love the Ferret Cam. Thank you. And yes, I did that just to embarrass him.
So, do you want help getting started on this, or are you just going to go out, or... do you want to I'm at your disposal.
I think that we can definitely plan to possibly do something after the show.
I can get you started, at least.
That'd be cool.
Okay. Because the farther it gets, the harder it's going to get, and I know you're going to need a few people to help, but... What level are you?
80.
Oh, well, this is going to be a cakewalk for us. We could do it pretty easy.
Draco is mythical as well, so it should be fairly easy.
Well, who in the heck was beckoning to me?
Katarina.
Where's she at now?
In the middle of the pool. She wants to dance with you. Trying to liven this party up a bit.
Come on, more Ixar questions. You're killing me, guys.
More Ixar questions.
Okay, I know that in Dwarven society, the style that you make up your beard has something to do with your clan. Is there something with the horns and head ridges with the Ixar?
Possibly. Though I know that females used to tattoo or dye their scales in particular colors. The males really didn't that much. They didn't touch their scales. The age-old question also always goes as to why all these the Ixar males have so many colors and why don't the females? Well, as a kind of a side note, male lizards, I believe, are more colorful or always have been more colorful than female lizards. I have never heard... Do Ixar taste like chicken? I have never heard...
You would have to ask Draco's wife.
Oh!
That's the kind of show we have here. He's cracking up. I've got him stunned silent. I'm actually going to camp for a minute here. I have been getting tells, wondering if Cheez-It is going to be joining the the pool party. So Cheez-It will be in just a second.
Where is Cheez-It Nibble Buns and an instant answer and prize? If so, can I already say Legion of Kithacor's Guildhall and get a T-shirt?
What's that?
He wants to know if he could just tell us that Cheez-It's in the hall.
No, we're not going to be playing the game tonight. Mainly because I have a bunch of people in the hall and trying to do a party. So I'm not going to run off somewhere. Yeah.
But in answer to your question, Lara, are you a Frostfell Elf?
Are you a Frostfell Ixar?
Frostfell Ixar? Bah humbug! I go to the Frostfell Wonderland just to burn things down.
I see how you are.
Well, there you go, you see. So I do not taste like chicken. I have never heard... I would think that it would make sense, though. And I've kind of always played it that way, that they kind of carry crests, or certain crests kind of progress along like family lines. It would probably also have to do a lot with genetics and whatnot, but I've never heard that the crests symbolize families or anything like that, no.
All right. But I would imagine perhaps if the male and female had similar crests that the offspring might have something similar. But... Okay.
When did Ixar begin to diversify and develop different types of bridges, horns, and chakras? I would think that they have always had different kinds of bridges, horns, and jowls. Jaws or jowls or whatever, but anyway. I would think that they've always had it and that we just have a wonderful, or at least a more wonderful, character creation engine here in EverQuest 2, therefore we can make more diversity external in EverQuest 1. The EverQuest 1 XR were kind of... Well, you can change a little bit of their face color, that was about it, and their eye color. And for the females, their dye color.
Yeah. But, you know, getting back to the colorations and stuff like that, I mean, in most amphibian or lizard species, the males are always the more colorful. And females are usually much larger than the males.
That's interesting, because Ixar males are larger than... Well, no. They're about the same size. They're about the same size. No,
Ixar are the same size. Sarnax, the females are much larger.
Are bigger. Oh, goodness, yes.
Much bigger.
A friend of mine played a Sarnax. Holy cow, she had that freaking necromancer maxed out in height. She towered over Ixar.
They were lots of eggs. I don't know.
Question is, weren't Ixar and Q1 rather slimmer and shorter? They were in one depiction, not in the other. The EQ1 original models were very lithe in build, yes. The Luckland models, on the other hand, ooh, no. and I think that the EQ2 Ixar models kind of take the best of both worlds in that sense. Ixar have always kind of been depicted, at least I have the EverQuest 2 role players handbook. Yes, I'm a geek, sitting right behind me. They've always been depicted as being very heavily built, but also very agile in some senses. They're a strong race by many means. They're not ogres, but they are pretty big.
Well, I would imagine that there's no fat on them. It's all muscle.
Speaking of one, one of our guild members have just come in who's a Sarnak.
Who's that?
Fire Scales.
I had no idea we had a Sarnak.
Yeah.
Why are that's an interesting question. Why are some Ixar and Kunark so large compared to the Ixar outside of Kunark? If you'll notice that it's not all of them, it's only those in the fence. And I think that it kind of what they were trying to depict inside of the given regions is that you had, well, we have the Fens of Nassar. We're talking about the Nassarian tribe, because of course the Ixar had tribes a long time ago. I think that we're kind of seeing different different tribes expressing their different traits as they were originally seen on Kunark. That's the only thing that I can really think of. I never have seen a reason as to why they're so large. Someone can send me a tell as to why that would be the case, but I would think that it, again, would kind of be like a tribal state, like the tribe that Venril came from, which I believe was the Kunzar. They were warriors, and that's why, well, among other reasons, Venril taking the book as a Buxarok probably didn't help, but he came from a tribe of warriors, so they kind of all have their different traits as different groups of people, or different groups of humans would have different traits in comparison to other people.
And by the way, Fire Scales is in Legacy of Luckland.
Okay.
Or Lucen. It's Luckland, isn't it?
Is it Luckland?
Yeah, that's the way I say it, Luckland.
I always say Luckland. People look at me funny when I pronounce my
last name. But if I remember right, Fire Scales did start with us for a while. I recognize.
Well, I guess it might. Does the fauna of Kunark affect the growth of Ixar broodlings? I guess if it would affect those in the Fens of Nassar, sure.
Are you drowning Cheez-It? They'll put Cheez-It in the hot tub. He's too little. He'll drown in there. Oh my god, hun. Little Cheez-It's head's just about above the water.
I have Cheez-It menacing, vexing the newly married couple.
If you didn't have his little head looking up, he'd be bubbly, glubby, glubby, glubby.
Stop killing the poor Ratonga.
God, it's so funny.
Oh, no. We've got a werewolf in the water. Oh, no wonder it smelled like wet stuff in here.
Who's the werewolf?
Tamriel.
Who bought the werewolf? Huh?
It's Tamriel.
Oh.
But it's funny. Dam and Mia Lisa were married on Friday. We attended the wedding. And they're here under the falls. You know, trying to be all romantic and stuff, and Jesus is like, ma'am, hi, dancing around.
Is it We already answered that question. No, it is not possible to spawn a child between an Ixar and a Sarnak. And by the way, Tamriel doesn't count as a werewolf. Draco's the only true werewolf. He's an Ixar werewolf. And yes...
Ixar werewolves?
Ixar werewolves, yes!
So do they get more scaly? Oh, did we lose somebody?
No.
Hello?
No,
I'm still here.
Everyone's still here.
Okay. Well, from the... your icon actually changes color on Skype if you start breaking up real bad now. And yours was the orange.
Ooh.
Means I almost lost you.
You got him tied up, right?
Yep. We tied him up. And I'm having Cheez-It run around bothering people.
Just don't let him drown. Oh, now we've got a bear in the tub.
You're going to have a...
Oh, God. I am not skimming all the hair out. Will you
get out of my head.
You should put Cheez-It on the steps before he drowns or something.
Oh, he's having fun. I thought I put these tiles up high enough.
Yeah, well, he's like, he's got his head barely over the water.
He's fine. His nose is above
anybody
the water.
Splashes, he's gonna drown.
Hey, I'm fine. Leave me alone. Oh no! Now there's a goblin.
Eek!
Goblin!
I think the grumpy dwarf in here, or the drunken dwarf. Sorry.
Oh!
I get Cheez-It back in line.
Yeah. Cheez-It! What are you doing? Get out of the tub! You'll drown!
But I'm having fun, dwarf! Come on!
Imagine if I had a script.
That's actually right, Derpy, and I kind of played on that legend when I was making Draco's story. I have the logs from that particular part of the quest.
What's that?
Derpy said that Drolvargs are depicted as being the magical result of a werewolf curse on the Ixar race, or at least that's what is said when you're doing a few points more. Those logs were posted on the archive a while back, and I kind of, when I was redoing my character's story, went back and incorporated that a little bit into.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I was unaware of such things.
So, did you guys all Tinkery Fest yourselves out really good?
Well, goodness gracious.
Did you tinker your fest?
It's another soft-skinned holiday. Why would I interest in that?
You make things that explode, and then you can take over the world.
See?
You missed it. One guild member in particular, I think, had enough Tinker Fest for the entire guild. And she knows who I'm talking about. Cox.
No, I had Jethel start tinkering. Oh, damn it, I just crashed. The EQ2 crashed, that is. Alright, I'll be back in game in just a minute, but we can continue the show for the next 10 minutes. Time flies. I'm telling you. I like it when we have guests on, because we actually fill the time.
You know, I liked is the pet that you got from the, is it?
Oh, the,
No, it's the Tinker's pet companion. When I'm out collecting the cogs, the sparkly ones.
The clogs? Are you clogging my sings
They're
again?
The clogs. And it's so funny when you have that out, everybody comes running at you thinking it's a sparkly, and they go, oh, it's a cog. You hear that, you see this, hail companion, you know, because they're clicking on it and they don't realize it's not a sparkly. It's terrible of me.
Okay, cause let's see, can we think
of... Uh-oh.
What?
I smell something bad in the hall.
There better not be a troll in here, I'm telling you that. No trolls in my frickin' hall. I wish there was a way I could block certain races from coming in the hall.
Don't tell BB Zook of that.
No trolls.
Panic attack.
No. Jethel's very tolerant of very many things.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I thought maybe there for a minute there was a stinky rat.
Okay. No, Jethel is very tolerant of very many things. Trolls is not one of them. What is the number one rule, Legion of Kithacor?
No trolls.
You know, it's kind of like the No Homers Club from The Simpsons. Sorry, Homer. No Homers. Oh. Okay,
reminds
so...
me of a friend from Vinicor, real-life friend of mine. We rolled on Vinicor, played there for a bit. Rolled a character named Oranges. Oranges yeah. Tastes good, and it was a troll.
Oranges taste good. You know, I met a troll once when they first got the betrayal going, and not very many people were betraying over, but this was like one of the first trolls I met that betrayed over to the Kinos. And I forgot their name, but they came over to be a cook.
That's
scary. And I talked to them, and they were really funny. They RP'd wonderfully. But yeah, they were coming over to be a cook in Kinos, and it's like, oh my god, no! They like
a little bit of pepper, a bit of an onion,
oh, wait a minute.
And a whole rotunga.
Yep, that's it, basically.
No, what are you doing? Yeah!
True Fight says he thought rule number one was not to call Jethro
Jethy. Right.
No, and rule two was no trolls.
Alright, the drunken dwarves here in the hot tub! Let's get blind, stinking drunk! Though I'm all wet. Ugh.
Oh god, not with that armor. I'll have to get you some new stuff.
Derpy, I demand that you mail me another dollar.
A dollar?
His question in the... in guck.ogr. I need another dollar. I told you, if I had a dollar for every single time someone asked, I'd be a wealthy man.
Well, does he want to know what, you know, where they take missionary or doggy or...
Is that I have absolutely no idea.
Do Iskar spawn sexually after a single mating? Or does the male have to fertilize every egg a female lays? I would think it's one egg per female, isn't it?
Yes.
They're not friggin' like geese or something, or chickens, or...
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. 100%, I'm telling you. Yep. Yep.
Yep.
They Woo! Absolutely... Uh-huh.
Talk down, Kiki! XR6!
Now, froglocks, that's another matter. I think they just kind of lay a bunch of eggs. And anyway.
Dalar has a question. How many XR have to get hit with a papaya before they give up? Well, that's kind of silly, because they would probably just get more and 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 more pissed off the more papayas you throw at them. Therefore, it's kind of like the Incredible Hulk. You really don't want to do that.
Why is Doofu over here snuggling against the Sarnak?
He's not snuggling against the Sarnak.
Yes, he is.
From your perspective, I'm about 3 feet away from him.
He was snuggling right...
I ain't snuggling next to no damn Sarnak!
Oh, I should have took pictures of that. He was
big,
like,
"Big bony sons of bastards!"
That was interesting as heck.
All right, let's get
actually, that's an interesting question, Derpy. Because there were five, or at least the if you ever, you guys have all probably seen the five clawed star, right? The Capelesian or Sebelesian star that has the five claws, kind of in a star position. Those represent the five original tribes of the Ixar. Well, the Shizar tribe, or the tribe that was underneath the Shizar, was a sixth. And it has its own special name. I'm wondering if anyone here knows it. The name. It's kind of a tricky.
What was that again?
There were five tribes. At least five tribes upon Kunark. that were represented with when the Empire was formed. There was, however, a sixth that we don't really hear a lot about. They were the tribe that was supposedly still enslaved by the Shi'ar on Luxlin. I'm wondering if anyone here can name an episode. Maybe a little bit of a trivia question here. It was a sixth one. I don't know if it was the Ovulus or not.
I don't know.
God, I don't remember.
Gazerin says Ovulus.
I remember doing Ovulus some sort of quiz and learning about them back then.
The Ovulus is one of the original tribes. Let me see if I can find them. Because I'm forgetting my head up.
He's really animate about it. The Obus? How do you say that?
Obulus.
Obulus.
Kunzar, Jarsath, Kylong, Obulus, Nathsar. Those are the five original, so it was not one of those five. And for goodness sakes, it's skipping my freaking head. What the heck did we call?
This is the sixth one.
This is the sixth. It's very commonly forgotten about. And I'm trying to think of it. Trying to pull up my own little books here again. Straza Temple. Was in Straza Temple, and they were called.
They were called
the Saurids.
The big Saurids. Scaly bastards of Luklin. No,
the Saurids.
The Saurids.
They were the sixth tribe. But yeah, they were. They're very commonly forgotten about. You see traces of them in the Temple of Straza in EverQuest 1. They are still. There are still Ixar slaves within the Temple of Straza in EverQuest 1.
Hmm,
I guess they old habits die hard, huh?
I see. The Shi'ar must be destroyed.
Alright, we're coming up on 9 o'clock here. Any last Ixar-related questions? or is there something perhaps that we didn't touch on that you'd like to say that's important about the Ixar race?
It's really, really hard to go over.
It's really hard. Entire, all right, folks. That's it for the Ixars.
the entire history of the Ixar race. And speaking to some of the developers at Fanfare, they freely admitted and said that the Ixar are by far one of their most elaborately done races because they had an entire expansion devoted to them. I'm not trying to plug my website at all when I'm saying this. But for those of you who are looking for a good, decent amount of lore, the archive is a good place to go. It's a lot of fun to read because they have a lot of ins and outs, a lot of different side stories. They have the origins of the Arkut brothers, which are the Skorpakai. That's one of my favorites, as I said before. Timelines of the entire race, and kind of gives you an idea as to what might be kind of going on Kunark at this point in time, because it goes in sequence. And you can kind of see, and I'm sorry, that's kind of a lot. You can see to some extent where they've come from, where they're going, and why they are where they are now, and why probably a lot of Ixar would be PO'd at the state of Kunark as it is. I think that though, from what I'm hearing, there's going to be a lot more Kunark-related stuff in the near future. They're touching more on Ryle, as we saw on Fanfare, and what Ryle's kind of doing to try and overthrow his father, as he did a long, long time ago. Might be something worth looking at or looking into here.
All right. Okay, folks. I think that's going to end our conversation about Ixars tonight. Thank you very much, Draco, for stopping in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I apologize for going on and on and on and on, but it's very, very easy to...
That's what you were here for.
So passionate about the lore.
That's what you were here for, man. It's fine. So I hope everyone learned a little bit more about the Ixar. Of course, if you have any more questions or whatnot, you can always go to... What is the URL?
I am putting it in OGRchannel.net right now.
Okay.
So and
it's the Archive of Ick, archiveofick.proboards.com. And if I remember correctly, some of your archives are also at Guild Portal, aren't they?
That's we archive have of it's archive of Ick. I-R-I-K, Ick. Yeah.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, some people might think that was IC if they tried it. So,
Ick.
Yes, the we used to be on Guild Portal, but Guild Portal charges exorbitant amounts of money for silly features. So I decided not to pay $30 for something I could get for free and allow other people to enjoy for free. That's why it's at ProBoards now. And pardon me if I'm delayed in answering any posts that are put there. I do try to keep busy in real life, but I do check them as frequently as I possibly can. But if you have any questions, you can post them there. Simply tell us, more than happy to answer. And by all means, enjoy the lore.
All right. Do you have any shout-outs? Anyone you want to say hi to?
Goodness, I could say this forever and a freaking day. I'll shout out to Revenants, of course. Best guild ever. And shout out to all the Ixar, of course. Keep on role playing, and keep on being passionate about the lore, because it really is a great, great bunch of lore. And oh yes, Ixar City in 09.
Ixar City in 09. Well, wouldn't that be that would be Sevelis, wouldn't it?
I certainly would like to have Sevelis.
I actually started a thread that's getting some pretty good responses today about my wanting a neutral city. I'm sorry, Majul and the Haven, not neutral. You can still be attacked by other guards if you're, if you're in Majul or Gorwin. You will still be attacked by other guards. I want a neutral faction where, okay, maybe you have to do some quests to earn trust to go into the other cities. The big cities. That's fine. But I'm just looking for something neutral. That's my suggestion, and I laid out, I thought, a pretty decent plan for a neutral city over in the Zones and... God, I don't know. What the heck was it? The Zones and something form over in EQ2 forms. And people who have been responding are all for it. So, I don't know. Maybe it can be done, maybe it can't be done. I've put in my 2 cents. Or my three coppers, whatever you want to call it. And I guess we'll find out. I'm taking, neutral city. Work up factions so you can walk in. I'm not saying be able to use the city merchants or anything like that. Just walk into the city without getting your head unscrewed would be nice. Especially, I made a comment about Nariak. Oh my god, you cannot go anywhere in Nariak unless you're invisible. And level 80. I mean, at least in Freeport, there are large, vast areas where you can go, and as long as you know where that level 80 epic guard is, you can avoid him.
No, you can't get into Nariak unless you are level 80 and can sneak by.
Exactly. Nariak is the most heavily fortified city, and I don't understand why. But anyway, okay, that's the show.
We've got a ding you missed.
Oh, we have a ding. Krellic dinged, correct?
Yes.
What is he now? 50, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Now I gotta scroll up.
No, just look at the guild.
Yeah, let's see here. Guild defense. Krellic has now level 50 conjurer. Congratulations, Krellic. He's dinged in birthday and in adventure. Congratulations, here's your ding. Elquin Jenna, any shout outs?
I can't think of any. I guess just to all the EQ2 developers. How's that? This time.
All right, there we go. And of course, hoping that
you
don't get sick.
Then don't get sick down there, guys. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
All right.
Whoever has the bug, stay at home.
Yeah. If you're sick over at Sony, stay the
maybe,
hell home.
Maybe it's Brenlow's fault and he needs to be quarantined.
Exactly.
Brenlow.
Oh, Halfling.
What'd you forget, hon?
Well, we were mentioning the latest podcast, which is 68, and they do an interview with Brass, who is now working for SOE.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a new hamster.
Haggis the hamster.
Yeah.
Gee, I wonder who's doing the voice of Haggis the hamster.
I don't know, but you guys need to go listen to this podcast, like big time need.
I simply just haven't had time. Okay, so what I got lined up for next week, Skyheart.
Okay.
We already did the birthday.
There's another one.
Who?
Trista's birthday is on the 16th of this month.
All right, so we'll do the trolls really quick for Trista. Here come the birthday trolls.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
All right. Happy birthday, Trista.
Happy birthday.
Next week on the Death of Silverwing show, Skyheart will be here to talk about the race of Fae.
The Fae.
From Ixar to Fae.
From Ixar to Fae.
Wow. From the large to the small.
And then after that, I'm going to butcher this name. Caloria and Credeldic? Credeldic? Are going to be here to talk about Dark Elves. After that, Gazurn will be here talking about Sarnax. And then, after that, Morian from the Legacy of Honor will be here to talk Halfling. And then after that...
Sickling.
No, Halfling, not Sickling.
Sickling.
And then Spindle and Tosta will be here on September 8th to talk Ratonga. And possibly talk like Ratongas.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
You know, we had two other dings in the guild, too.
Where? Well,
they just dinged AAs. I'm being told this. Windsong and Teresa?
Teresa?
Yeah, Terrence. Oh.
Terracil.
Terracil. Okay.
Hi, Uncle Spingers! Hi, Sand Tosters!
So, are we going to have any trolls on to talk about trolls?
No one has, Nobody has volunteered to do trolls yet. I'm, keeping an eye on that thread for people to volunteer.
Okay.
So by all means...
What are we still missing? What are we missing?
Okay, let me see here. Looking for experts. I still need Barbarian, Dwarf, Erudite, Frogluck, Gnome, Half-Elf, High-Elf, Human, Karen, Ogre, Troll, and Wood Elf. I play a Wood Elf. I'm not real big on the lore. I got my own lore going on. So that's what we're looking for. If you think that you are an expert, by all means, go to the scroll up here, history and lore area, or you can email me at demon@kithacore.org or leave a message on our forums, blah, 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 blah. We want experts.
No pressure. They'll only ask you questions about mating habits.
Mating habits,
over,
yes!
And over again.
You know,
no
it's
pressure at all.
Roundabout.
Are you kidding me? I've been looking around and stuff like that. You know, I was doing searches for Ixar and stuff. I actually found, you have on your website, or at least on the old Guild Portal site, you have a gallery of Ixar art. One of those artists does naughty Ixar pictures.
What?
And I found them.
You have naughty Ixar?
No, I did not put any naughty Ixar.
No. I'm saying they have their own site. I think it's on DeviantArt. And they have a few naughty Ixar pictures.
Naughty, naughty Ixars.
How could they be naughty?
Mating? Hello? Anyway. Anyway, that's the end of the show for this week, folks. Next week's... Next week, Skyheart will be here talking about the Fae. Have a good night, and Jethel out.
Well, all right, that's it for this week's episode of the Jethel Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Jethel Silverwing.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And I'm Cheesy Nibblebugs!
Online Gaming Radio is a proud member of the ZAM Network. Our producer is D Pockets. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by the Grassy Knoll. Our spiritual advisor is Al Kilholic. Sensitivity Seminars by Mandy Feldersnatch. And noted contributions by 3 Badgers, 2 Giant Rats, a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, package of expired Twinkies, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch our show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, at some ungodly hour in the UK. So, for the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, Elk Magenta, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.